We are continuing our study through the parables. The youth group last week helped look at the sower and helped me out. And then Wednesday night group, as always, helped me out. So we've spent some time thinking about this and praying about it. So listen for a word from God for you from several of us. Luke chapter 8. Soon afterwards, Jesus went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. And when a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into the good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As Jesus said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To think about this parable, we have to think about life and how life works. And so if you think about over the development of time, as people traveled the world, one of the things they noticed was that some countries had animals that no other country had, specifically like Australia, which is far removed from other countries. You had a kangaroo. Where in the world did that come from? Well, as they looked at, they saw different countries having different animals. People said, well, God just created it and made it and put it there. Boom. But the interesting thing was that even though there were unique animals, there were a lot of plants that appeared in Australia as well as in Asia as well as in other places. So this guy named Chuck started doing experiments to see where and how these plants could possibly have traveled from one country to another. And so he floated stuff. And he saw how long something could stay alive. He tried floating different radishes. He tried floating different things and then planted them after he floated them. He floated them in his bathtub for a while. And so he found out that if he, a radish could be swept in the sea on a rainy day and then could survive 42 days of floating and still grow. He had a lot of time on his hands. He did stuff in his bathtub. And he found out that if there was a slimy mess or a mucus around it, it would float even longer. An asparagus seed could float 85 days and stay afloat and still be planted and grow. And 85 days could cross 38 miles a day, could cross 3,230 miles across the sea and still grow. And so then he thought, well, what if it was attached to the leg of a bird? Attached to the leg of a bird, a seed could grow. What if the bird ate it, flew for a while, then died? He even floated them on his bathtub with his son. Can you imagine what kind of dad does those kind of experiments? Probably a single parenting dad would be. Well, the guy's name was Chuck, but you know him better as Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin looked at life and said, this is how life works. And he wanted to know just how these plants could be there when animals couldn't travel that distance. And so by paying attention, he saw that that was the power of life. And to get this parable, and to get a lot of the Bible, we have to understand the power of life. In the beginning, in Genesis 1, when God creates the world, pay attention. We have an industrial mindset. We think about God making you. But if you were to go to Asia, in those religions, they don't talk about being made. They recognize how life works. An apple tree apples. And to understand that, you get that people. That's what we do. And when you look at Genesis 1, God tells the waters, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. And God created the great monsters and every living creature that moves. So in this idea of creation, God tells them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply the earth. It wasn't the guy was making everyone like a factory where they all looked alike. This is how life works. There's life in the sea. So see, do what you do and let life grow. That's what's going on here. And then when he tells the animals on the earth, be fruitful and multiply. And then it says this, the culmination. Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply. That's how life works. So when Jesus tells this parable, and notice that Luke put it right here after he tells you, yes, there were 12 disciples. Yes, there were men. But who's supporting this activity? The women. And he doesn't mean just making dinner, because these guys were poor. Yes, there were some fishermen, and we know they weren't very good fishermen because they're always mending their nets and they're fishing all night, never catching anything, so none of them had any money. So wink, wink, this life is being supported in a new way. And then he tells the parable of the sower. And so what I want you to pay attention to is how life works. And at the youth group, we asked last week, who is the sower? Well, we typically think of God as the sower, and we're the kinds of soil. We're dirt. That's kind of exciting. But if we're in the image of God, shouldn't we learn something about ourselves from what it means to be the sower? Think about your efforts. Like this farmer, as you're going out and trying to do good things or just trying to get things done on a given day, don't you feel like some of your efforts are like that seed that falls on the path? Don't you feel like that you maybe have been run over sometimes, or that you are just in rocky soil and that your efforts aren't going anywhere, or that as soon as you try something, the people or the things around you just kind of choke it out? So even when you're doing good stuff, you feel like there's a lot against you. See, when we had youth group Sunday night and we came up with that, aren't we like the sower? Man, I was feeling good. We had a great youth group. It was a good time. And then Monday came. So I had a good Sunday, but then there was Monday. And my Monday was especially Monday-ish on that day. In our preschool is a guy named Wyatt. And Wyatt was having a Monday too. I get to sit in my office, and my desk is a certain way so that when the kids walk by, we have a parade. And I wave at them, hey, have a good time in the bathroom. I don't want to say that, but that's kind of the feeling as it goes along. And then I heard Laura say, hey, we're missing one. Now, it's early in the year. Not everybody's gotten the rhythm of things. But missing a kid is generally not what you want to have happen. So Trisha goes back to the room to look for Wyatt. Wyatt is standing there. She says, Wyatt, what are you doing? He says, I'm the caboose. Clearly, Wyatt didn't really get the whole caboose concept, but it is new in the year. He did not think, you don't think train when you don't see trains in your life. So he thought the caboose was the kid that stayed back and watched the room. So he's standing there by the door going, I'm the caboose. No, this is what we do. So this is how the caboose works. So he learned, part of a learning experience. But you know, when you think you're doing the right thing and you're out there all by yourself and they said, nah, that wasn't it. You're supposed to be down here. Well, the little air in your balloon just kind of deflates a little bit. Then on the playground, Wyatt runs up the slide. And I don't know if you remember it, but I remember running up the slide. That was a big deal when you could run up the slide. And he goes, Miss Laura, I ran up the slide. And she goes, Wyatt, that's wonderful. But at preschool, we go down the slide so that we don't hurt our friend. I was having that kind of day. As you heard, we've had several deaths of families and close to us, and Ray Askins was coming back from his brother's funeral, so I decided to call him, and I talked to Barry, and I talked to Jeff, so it was kind of gloomy, very Monday. As I was sitting in my chair, I spun around, and if you don't know, I moved my office a while back across the hall, and well, there was a plaque behind my desk that I had not noticed before. And so I'm waiting on the phone to ring, and then I'm waiting on the answering thing to go. And Ray has an interesting one that says, hey, if you leave a message, I might check it. So I'm listening to that. And there's a plaque there about the church starting and founding, and I'd never noticed that. And I'm sitting there staring at it, and then for a brief moment, I kind of forgot who I was calling. And then I had a shadow of a doubt. I said, I'm calling Ray. But then I said, but the starting pastor was Ray Jones. Maybe I'm just confusing and thinking it's Ray. And so then I hear beep, and I go, Ray. And I was thinking later, hopefully it's not like there's doubt when I'm saying that, but maybe he thinks I'm really sad. But that's kind of how I was feeling. It just wasn't going to go my way on Monday. It was such a Monday. Sunday had been full of life. But Monday, well, and then it got worse. Laura had asked me to go hang up a sign, and it's this sign about the preschool, and we take them down, and I do it not because I'm a saint, but because the difference between me and all the rest of you is, if I'm up on a ladder and I fall, no, it's not that God will save me, it's that I get workers' comp. So I'm more than happy to go out and do this stuff, but this sign, I had to take the knob off because it didn't slide over the end knob. I had to take it apart. I had to take part of the poles down. And then I put the first one up, and there's about this much extra. Not sign, but space. You can't stretch that much out of this sign. So I go in and say, woman, what are you doing to me? She goes, oh, that's an old one. That's probably why it was in my office. I'm sweating. And then I said, what is going on with this church in that day and time that you tell people, hey, if you want to come to preschool, come here, and then you give them some of the phone number. Here, if you want to call us, here are most of the numbers. She said, yeah, you can throw that away. Most of the numbers. It's kind of like we want children. Maybe. And I got that from here. I'm telling you, people said, yes, we need children. But it's kind of like in churches. Yeah, I hear that a lot when you talk to different churches. Yeah, we need children in our church. I say, don't say that to parents because it will scare them. And there's a difference between wanting children to like you and liking children. 12 new families in the preschool. Now, what are you going to do? Are they going to matter? You going to give them all the phone number or just some of the digits? Because you see, if you're tapping into life, then you understand that even with Mondays, even with days that are rock hard, even with days that are tough, life is bigger. So Wednesday night group, we did the math. If 25 seeds fell on one of the soil, if 25 fell on the path, 25 fell on the rock, 25 fell on the thorn, but 25 fell in the good soil, and it produced 100-fold, that's 2,500. So even next year, if you plant the same amount, you lose 75 and gain 2,500. Do that for 10 years. You're not going to care about what falls on the path. You're not going to care about what falls in the rock. The sower doesn't care because he knows how life works, that life can cross an ocean if you just pay attention. That life can conquer all the rocks and stuff because that's just how life works. I wrote this in The Way and the Word, that the way is like the sower scattering seed everywhere. Some falls upon the road eaten by the birds. Some falls upon the rocks that never takes root. Some falls upon the thorns and are choked out. Some falls upon the good soil and brings forth a healthy crop. The sower is not concerned for the seed that is lost. He does not worry about the seed that's eaten by the birds, that takes no root upon rocks or is choked out by thorns. The sower understands life. Life grows exponentially. Life always wins over roads, rocks, and thorns. So it is with the way. Now I'm going to tell you this, and you won't believe me, but I want to tell you that the songs you play matter, though sometimes you may not feel like it does. The things that you do matter, though sometimes you may not feel like it does. But if you pay attention to how life works, it may scare you. And I found that out at Marshall's. I know, very surprising that you find that at Marshall's. Usually everything's just discounted and you find whatever you find. But since I've lost weight in support, my family looks at me and says, Your pants look goofy. So I had to go find some new pants and new clothes. So I'm at Marshall's, and I'm walking across Marshall's, and every once in a while you notice something that's a little bit different, and I could hear what sounded like talk radio coming over the speakers. And that's unusual, because usually it's that slow, take your time, spend money music. But it sounded like talk radio, and I thought that was odd, and I thought maybe it was, I looked at my phone, it's not coming from me, it's clearly coming from up there, even though I couldn't make out the voice. But when I went into the dressing room, I could hear the voices clearly. And I was listening, and it was, I thought was brilliant. The guy that was talking said, well, in a family, don't manage people, manage agreements. Because if you have an agreement, then that's what you talk about. If the room's going to be clean by noon, then talk about the agreement. This is what we agreed on. How do we work that out? I thought that guy's really smart. He talked about two ways of approaching life. One is a control psychology where you try and get everybody to do what you want. One is choice, where you make choices and other people make choices. I even thought his cadence sounded really, really spot on. And then I heard the other voice that was with him in the talk radio, and it was an African accent. And I realized in an epiphany moment, as I'm standing there trying on clothes with my five items, I'm sitting there listening, and I realized that's Kwame, who had his church here, and the other voice was me. No kidding. And I mean, the speaker is coming from above. It's my voice. I don't listen to myself. You listen to me more than I do. I was stunned. So I thought, nobody's going to believe me. I'm going to take out my phone and record this. And then a little light goes on my head as I look in the mirror. Put your pants on first. Not that I ever want to run for public office, but I'm just saying. Because it doesn't matter what's playing on that speaker if I'm standing there without pants. As soon as I got the pants, silence. That's why I believe in God. Not that I was on the speaker. It's just that it stopped as soon as I was going to record it. So my mother, if she were still alive, I'd say, Mom, I made it. I made the speaker in the men's room at Marshall's. I call my friends in Nashville. You've been on national television? You ever been standing in the men's dressing room at Marshall's and heard yourself? No. But I couldn't do it because it stopped. I grabbed my clothes. I got my clothes on. I grabbed the other clothes. I went back out. I forgot my number. I went back. I got the five. I went and said to the lady, the radio that was just playing or whatever that was, do you know who turns that on or off? Because I know one of the guys that was on that speaker. She's like, no, I wasn't paying attention. I said, well, at least I got a sermon illustration, so there you go. And it really is not to say, woo, that's really cool. It's to say, that is terrifying. Kwame and I recorded that over 2 years ago, and I haven't talked to him in a year. But it's out there somewhere. And that's how life works. So when you're having a Monday, just trust. There's a Saturday coming. There's a Sunday coming. Just stay with it. Because that's how life works. Seeds across the ocean. That's how life works. The sower's not worried about it. The sower just keeps doing what sowers do. Because that's how life works. That's how we work. Let us pray. God, if you show up in special ways, whether it be at the mall or Marshall's, if you could wait long enough for us to get our phone out and record it, we would appreciate that. But help us to be humble enough to be surprised. Help us to trust enough that no matter what we're doing, that life grows. We are fruitful. We are multiplying in ways that we don't even know. With that faith, help us to go forward as people of your kingdom. That's why we've come. That's why we've gathered. So we lift our voices, praying as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.